I'll be back with you again tomorrow night. We'll be investigating miracles, strange encounters, and we'll also be talking about our purpose in life. What are we here for? Is there a predetermined reason, or is this just a willy-nilly universe and we're just along for the bumpy ride? Tomorrow night we'll be talking about that. I know the New Year's right around the corner. People are seeking a direction, seeking insights. How can they improve their lives? What can they do to make their lives better? We'll look at some uplifting stories and some deep insights tomorrow night. I want to thank our guest this evening, Miriam Knight, and the book, What Wags the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening. We'll continue taking your calls. If you have stories of your own awakening, things that have happened in your life, perhaps near-death experiences or life-altering moments when you felt that consciousness snap to life, I want to hear about it tonight on the show. I want to know what your thoughts are behind this. Automatic writing, that's what Miriam was talking to us about. That's one way to open up and allow consciousness to come through you and stream through you. We've heard stories, Stephen King, Led Zeppelin, many of the poets, musicians, and free thinkers throughout the world have often stated that they feel that they become a vessel. And when they open up, they get this download, this dump of information that seems to come from somewhere outside of them. Has that ever happened to you? Let's discuss that and more. Right here on Coast to Coast AM. It's your time to shine. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts and beliefs with us, this is your time to give us a buzz. Tell me what you want to chat about, and we will discuss it here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go east of the Rockies. Stuart in Bloomington, Indiana, you're on the air with me. What's a topic you want to discuss?
I'd like to speak to her about her topic. She was what her message was resonated so personally with me. I'm just thinking of past experiences that I've had. I've been a blurber ever since I was a very young kid. Information would just pop in my head, Dave, and for some reason, I blurted it out, much to the embarrassment of my mother.
Okay.
So this ability to know information usually manifests itself lately as knowing someone else's name. Like the night I was riding on the bus going home, only one other person was on the bus sitting across the aisle from me. I was facing the front of the bus when a flash of light inside my head came up in my head, in large black letters saying Rachel. Understand, I had no idea what it meant. So I turned to the only other person, young lady sitting across the aisle, and asked her, "What do your friends and family call you, Rachel?" She immediately replied, almost even nonchalantly, "Yes." Well, seeing as it came so easily and without any surprise, whatever, I asked her to show me her ID. She showed me her cashier ID with Rachel on it. And I also, I'm an avid photographer. I asked a young lady one night down at Indiana University, right here on the edge of campus, if she wouldn't mind posing for me. And as I was thanking her later after I'd taken her picture, she stopped me in mid-sentence, excitedly saying, "Stop, what did you just call me?" I said, "I didn't have any idea. And I thought perhaps I'd said something inappropriate, you understand." So I asked her, "What did I call you?" And she said, "You called me Kate." Ooh, I was kind of relieved. And then I asked her what her name was. She replied, "Caitlin." And without another word, she turned 45 degrees and walked away without a word. So I had used her name in conversation, not even having met her before. So this happens time and time again. And I've just come to accept it. One night I was even back in the 70s, I was meditating. And you know how when you're in a calm down, relaxed state, how maybe a phone ringing would shock you.
Right.
You understand? Well, I had said like a silent, wish to myself, I wish I know when the phone was going to ring. So while I was meditating, I had stopped and it was, he's just very calm, very relaxed, a low, warm voice, a male voice said in my right ear, "The phone is about to ring." Now this was quite a long time ago and you might think this was really surprising, but within seconds, the phone rang. And by the way, I agree with her wholeheartedly. Meditation does bring this out very strongly. In fact, it got to the point where I stopped meditating because I was hearing this information so often. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, let me ask you, Stuart, by stopping, did that throw a monkey wrench into your system? Or has it, because you've already opened that door now, that conduit is always open for you?
It is regularly open. In fact, I was over this other store waiting for some banana boxes just a couple of days ago, Dave, and I needed the banana boxes, and the young man was undoing, taking the bananas out. And while I was standing there, I just got some information about him and the Coast Guard. I said, I advised him he should join the Coast Guard. And he says, oddly enough, I've been considering that. No, you understand there are four other major armed forces, Army, right. Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps. I happen to say Coast Guard for some reason or other. And I said, when he said, oddly enough, I said, sir, it's not oddly enough if you're around me.
And when you do this, now you said that you were meditating. At what age did you realize that you had this kind of connection to a greater consciousness?
I've always felt that way. And by the way, that book by Neil Donald Walsh that you had, I was on the show recently, very, very strongly, I read that book and I feel so much better about myself and the feelings that I have and how I approach life. I feel like a whole weight has been lifted off me because a lot of people don't feel that way. You know, I'm not going to go into the book, but the final line is I started meditating back in the 70s. I'm 67 years old. And when I was in New Jersey, I took it up a TM and, you know, became an initiate. And it just opens up that knowing. You're just connected somehow. I have no idea. But again, I've had this from a very young age as a boy. This is nothing new to me. In fact, when I was 12 years old, I climbed a tree. This is unrelated, but I was nearly electrocuted. I climbed a maple tree. And, you know, if you've ever held on to a strong current, it just shakes your body violently, okay? But, you know, after a couple of minutes of being shook, it just suddenly released me. There have been many times in my life of divine intervention. People don't realize it many times when those things happen, but I've come to realize that there is a time when you're due to leave this earthly plane. That was not my time.
Right, we do. There are many people, right? They're looking for that bolt of lightning from the sky as their message. And I think sometimes if we're so focused on that, we miss the miracles and we miss the messages that are around us at all times.
Absolutely. Exactly right. And especially when Miriam Knight was mentioning automatic writing, it's only happened to me one time. I'm not a very good student. I'm ADHD. I do not do well with research papers, term reports, etc. So back when I was a sophomore in high school, I took the final exam. And for some reason, the information was just flowing. And I'm looking at it like, wow, that sounds good. You know, well, I got the highest grade in the class. I tied, actually, with the brainiac of the class that always sits in the front. You know who they are. And the teacher took me aside. I was due to get an incomplete, but she asked me if I would accept a B. Of course, inside, I was jumping for joy.
Sure.
And I just nonchalantly said, yes, I'll take a B. Of course, you know.
Now, do you think that you were getting that information, or were you maybe tapped into that other classmate that was so into it in that zone? Do you think maybe you somebody else's power and focus was so strong and intent and you were so open that you kind of drank off of them?
I don't think that was the case. It's a possibility, but no, this is just a natural flow of information. And, you know, you don't think about it. It just comes automatically. It's not symbolic for me. And I understand from another person, I think it was on your show, they call it being a spiritual intuitive. In other words, it's distinct, definite information. In fact, I also am an amateur astrologer. I was down here at the local soup kitchen one night, and I was doing an astrology chart of a young lady who had just taken a lunch break. She's a Mormon missionary. Her name was on a tag. It had, you know, a sister in her last name. So when I did her chart, I asked for her first name, and she refused to give it to me. You know, but as she got up to go back to the serving line, I reached up to thank her. And as I did, Dave, I reached in sort of like that little auric area, you know, the auric body around you. And as I did, I had a little YouTube video. It's split-second information. It didn't happen over a period of time. It was a split second. I reached up and I said, and thank you, Rebecca, because I saw in that YouTube video her parents discussing what to call the young little girl that they had. And she blushed 1,000 shades of crimson. And later come up to me and asked me to delete her astrology chart, thinking that it was the astrology chart that did it. No, it's just the astrology chart to me acts like a springboard to that area of information. That's all it is.
Stuart, thank you so much for sharing all of your encounters this evening. I appreciate talking with you. Wildcard Line 2, Tim in Lake Tahoe, California. Welcome to Coast AM.
Oh, hey, thank you, Dave. Hey, thank you. What a great show tonight. What a great show.
Thank you.
And, Miriam, you know, the same stuff I'm talking with friends today. And, you know, I wanted to share my experience. you know, as a kid and stuff, you know, I think kids know there's more to life and everything. And depending on how you're raised, you know, we're taught maybe there's not much to it. So in my little quest and stuff, you know, I ended up coming across Edgar Cayce, the book. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
Certainly.
Many Mansions. And when I read that book, you know, and I'm looking, I'm going, man, I know there's more. And I read that book and what he was able to do, it was like, in my mind, I saw this hallway with doors that went on forever, and they all opened. Because as a kid, you know, you kind of know, you know, and people are like, you know, oh, the world and money and all this stuff. But as a kid, you realize, you know, love is this thing, and why are people not going there? And so that was like the really just a huge experience for me, reading about him, you know, because, you know, it's documented, it's on file, he did all these things, and his healing, you know, was provable. But the other stuff, I mean, just rang of truth, and that was like, that was kind of the moment in my life where, you know, I felt like, you know, like things really kind of changed, because, you know, here's this guy, and, you know, it's been proven, you know, it's documented, and so that was my experience where it's got me on my path, and, you know, and unfortunately, it took me a long time to where I'm actually starting to really live that, you know, and just going with love every day, thankful.
Why do you think it took you so long, even though you had that realization and that awakening? Why is it taking so long for you to actually, you know, apply it into your life?
I don't know, just depending on our environment, how we're raised and everything, you know, I mean, in this world, you know, we're kind of taught that love is kind of a weakness, and especially as a guy, you know, you got to be tough, and you know, love is, you know, feelings and stuff. And it just took me a long time before I finally embraced it, you know. And I've been walking the walk for about 3 years now, and it's awesome. I may have not a whole lot in life, but I've gained so much. And on a day-to-day thing, I just. You know, what Miriam's talking about tonight, you know, I come across 20 years ago, different books, Edgar Cayce and stuff. And, you know, I'm sharing it with people that are down and out going, you know, hey, you know, when it gets down to it, it comes from love, you know, trust in this love. This love is the force of the world. And, you know, and kids know that. And so that was like, that was the moment in my life where it's like, you know, you're looking for those answers. And, you know, it's like, wow. Here's this guy. And, you know, most of the stuff was healing, but the reincarnation thing, it was like, wow, I can see this. I mean, and so that was, you know, just, you know, that was the moment. And it took me a while. You know, you want to hang on to, you know, I don't know. We just hang on to stuff for a long time. What I tell my friends is finding the answers is easy. It's doing them. That's when it really gets hard.
Yeah, that's some great insight.
Tonight, Dave.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you tuning in and being a part of the show with us. Let's go to Wild Card Line 1, Terry in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the show.
Merry Christmas, Dave. How you doing?
Merry Christmas to you, too. Doing well. Thanks for calling in this evening. What did you want to chat about?
You know, sometimes I've heard y'all's show have remote viewing, and I was thinking sometimes when I go to bed at night, I'll start dreaming, or I don't know what I do, but sometimes I feel like I'm in a purplish, greenish color place, and it's hard to explain, but it's not like a feeling or anything, and I don't know how to explain it, Dave.
So you find yourself in a different place. Now, is there any tactile sensations? Do you feel anything physically when you're in this place, or what can you discern from that?
Just feels like I'm floating, Dave. I mean, feels like I'm kind of like out in space, be honest with you. I mean,
well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, have you ever looked at the fact that maybe you're being visited? Maybe there's an abduction going on.
I never thought about that. But it's like a greenish purplish color, and it's kind of like a it's hard to explain. Kind of feeling like I'm floating sometimes.
And do you get any messages, or are you just isolated and out there?
I just feel isolated. I don't feel, that's what I'm trying to explain. I don't feel anything.
I'm not familiar with that experience, but you may want to look into hypnotherapy or regression, see if there's something else that is going on that maybe you're being shielded from seeing or witnessing. You know, that almost sounds similar to versions of stories I've heard from Whitley Strieber and other alien abductees, that they will find themselves in a different room or in a weird state where there's this consciousness, they're awake, but there's nothing going on, and they're, you know, they're in almost a form of stasis. Thank you very much for calling in, Terry. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, Mark in Schenectady, New York. You're on the air with Coast to Coast AM.
How are you tonight?
Doing great. What's up?
You know, you just said the magic word, Whitley Strieber, because my experience that I was going to talk about deals with Whitley Strieber and your show, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And, but what I really wanted to talk about, that would take up a whole entire show, but for now I want to talk to you about what Miriam was talking about with automatic writing. And
sure.
I could hear your mind and your wheels turning in your head, you know, as she was, you know, when you're saying, how did the words come and stuff? Well, I can tell you a story. 7 years ago, I had relatives over. And one of the relatives went into the shower before me. And when I went to the shower, I got his thoughts. Because his thought, I was in the same spot he was in. And I asked him what the thought that I came to my mind. And he goes, how did you know that? So from there, I concluded that thoughts occupy space. So if his thoughts occupied space, then every person's thought that's ever lived here on this earth, their thoughts exist here in this finite space. So that's where she gets it from. She sits there, and she sits down, and she meditates, and waiting for the pen to write, she empties herself of her thoughts, and she gets the thoughts that are there. And people can practice this by looking at someone in a public area and just look at them and see what they're thinking. And then when they get up and leave, go sit in their spot and see if you can pick up their thoughts.
You know, there was Nostradamus, other famous mysticists who would scribe by looking into mirrors and focusing beyond themselves, or looking into a bowl of water at the reflection, almost like those magic eye pictures that would just seem to be a random pattern until you looked at it and allowed your eyes to relax and kind of look past what was there to see the image that would be revealed. And it almost does seem like that. If all of this information is out there and we can move past the mind, move past our own thoughts, that then those messages should be revealed to us.
Well, the reason why it doesn't is because everyone is controlled by the date. It is not 2014. I mean, that date is based on one person's death. How many people have died in this world? Billions and billions and billions and billions. I mean, the thing is, our time controls us. It controls our mind. We can't get out of it. That date, I mean, it's only 2014 in our mind. So eternity is in front of us. That's the thought. Well, eternity is behind us. I mean, there are billions and billions of years behind us, and billions of people had to get together to get to you. So your future and your eternity is behind you, not in front of you.
Mark, interesting insight. Yeah, I appreciate you giving us a call and sharing that with us. Phone lines are open if you'd like to talk with us this evening. Have you had a moment of consciousness, global awakening, where something within you seems to stir and awaken after a near-death experience or after hitting rock bottom? We want to hear your stories this evening, or if you'd like to talk about other topics, you can certainly feel free to do that. I'll be back with you tomorrow night as we talk about miracles and we talk about our place in the universe. Do we have a purpose? Do things happen for a reason? That's tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. If you like the strange, the unusual, the bizarre, then you can join me Monday through Friday at Darkness Radio as we explore all of those factions and so much more. You can go to the website, stream the show live from our website through the iHeartMedia player. It's right there. It's very easy. It's fun. It's free. It's available to you. You can also be part of our live chat. There's a live chat going on right now if you want to go on in and join other like-minded individuals as we talk about all of the topics this evening. We've been talking about conscious awakening. Have you had one of these yourself? You know, our last caller, Mark from Schenectady, New York, was talking about something interesting, that people conceive time in a strange way, that they believe this is 2014, so therefore it is to them. That's their paradigm. I see where he's going with this, and something that I've discussed on our show quite a few times, talking about the idea of spirits and ghosts and where do ideas come from. How does a house that was built on property where there was nothing there beforehand, how is it haunted when nobody's died in that home, when there is no death associated with that home? I think that people forget that time is not linear. It is not just A to Z, and that this location, where I sit, where you're listening, this location has always existed and always will exist until the end of time. And like the pages in a book sandwiched between the covers, the beginning of time being the front of the cover and the end of time being the final cover, all of those pages are layered one on top of each other, each one telling its own part of the story. And I think that sometimes, like when you get a page wet, how you can start to see the page underneath, you can see the words coming through, and then as it dries, that fades away. I often wonder if that's what we're really encountering in moments of hauntings or clarity or these spiritual guidance moments. Are we getting those messages as bleed through from time itself? We'll discuss that and so much more right here on Coast to Coast AM. It's open phone lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Your chance to shine. Let's go to the first time caller line, Amy in Indianapolis. Thanks for picking up the phone and calling me this evening. What did you want to talk about?
Hey, well, awakenings.
Okay.
Mine happened really young because I grew up in a family where, you know, you weren't taught that was wrong to talk about maybe seeing spirits as a child and things like that. So mine happened really young. But you had a caller earlier, his name was Charlie, and he was talking about how certain people kind of take for granted that we have a global consciousness or a universal mm-hmm. consciousness, and that you feel like you're a part of everything. I am also one of those people and have been all my life. Unfortunately, because of the stigma attached to that, we learn as adults to keep those things to ourselves, and I think that it just makes you the kind of person that you are good to people, because you know that we are actually something much bigger than the lives that we lead here. But it's also, again, it's very hard to be that kind of an enlightened person in our society. And I think it's a real shame. I would like to just maybe impose on everyone listening to be kinder to everybody. I think as a people, as human beings, that we might actually live up to our potential if we learn to be the positive beings that we really are. Because I think we are pure love and light at the core of our beings.
Amy, you still feel, as an adult now, do you still feel that people have to be closeted about these abilities and feelings? It seems to me people are more open now than they've ever been about accepting and talking openly about abilities.
I think it depends on your group of peers now, doesn't it? If you're around open-minded people that might consider that thing okay to talk about, yes. I live in a very rural area in Middle America. And that would not be, it would be frowned upon. I'd be thought of as crazy if I told people that I could hear their thoughts, you know, or feel their feelings. They would think I was crazy.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess it another thing you take for granted when you do this type of work that I do and get a chance to travel. But I'm always surprised personally when I go to places where they don't know what I do and we just start chatting. And when they find out I host radio shows talking about these type of topics and more, how many different walks of life, religions, belief systems, sexualities, whatever, they'll sometimes give me that raised eyebrow or the squinched up nose like, oh, here we go, another nut. But then they take a deep breath and they start to relate their own experiences to me and will say, this is something I'd never admit, but this is what's going on.
Isn't that amazing? Or how people will change their tune once they find out what kind of a field you're in. Here, you're some academic because you're well-spoken, et cetera. And then you start mentioning things like EST or aliens, and all of a sudden you're not quite the person that they thought you were. And their face changes. I know exactly what you mean.
I've always found it funny, too, that some of the people that I will speak to will be vehement about believing in ghosts and psychic and mediumistic abilities, and then you bring up something like fairies or the possibility of giants or even the possibility of God, how quickly they'll change, and they'll accept some parts of what other people would consider to be fantasy and be totally open to that, but then they're so closed to totally different aspects of it.
Yes. We do have a lot of deeply ingrained prejudices as a people, as human beings. I reiterate, I think that we might even be able to escape this plane of existence once we all learn to be higher beings and be more tolerant and accepting and kinder and be the light that we were meant to be.
And I couldn't agree more. You know, we've been doing on our show, Darkness Radio, for the last few weeks where we've adopted a few families that were in need for the holidays, people that were going through really rough times medically and financially and just in bad situations. And I guess, you know, I know people are caring and loving, and what has really struck my heart are the amount of people that have reached out to us that are in similar situations, but they may not have money to give, but they've spent, you know, a week knitting scarves and hats for the families in need, or all they have to give is a $5 gift card to a fast food chain, and that's something that they willingly give. And even opening up the hearts, one of the families reached out to me today and said, Dave, we were ready to give, and we were going to give a nice gift to one of the families that needed the help, but we just had a problem with our car and it crapped out and we were out another $1,500. So he goes, unfortunately, we weren't going to be able to do anything this year. And when I mentioned that to my children, they got together and pulled gift cards that they'd already received for the holidays and handed them to me and said, please send these on to the families. And it is amazing that sometimes, again, we take things for granted and we forget that people do have a good soul and a good heart. And when given a chance to open it, how freely they will give.
Yeah, as a young person, I was quite convinced that human beings were inherently bad. The older I get, I've reversed that. I think we're all inherently good, and our environment makes us bad.
Well, Amy, thank you very much, and I appreciate you sharing a little light with us this evening on the show. Let's go west of the Rockies. Brian in Seattle, Washington, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hello, Dave, and everybody else. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling this evening. What did you want to chat about?
Well, a friend of mine suggested that I listen into your show, sent me a text, and because he knows I've been really actively kind of pushing for answers in the area that we're talking about here. As far as interacting with divinity or whatever you want to call it, the higher consciousness, and I'm just coming up on about 18 years of admittedly pretty manic pushing the boundaries on that. And just in the last week, I've kind of opened the door up real well where I can actually almost on demand have I can facilitate the messages coming through. And a lot of things everybody seems to agree on about unconditional love being kind of like the thing, the core essence of what we're all aiming for. You know, it's hard to get there because I guess we have this thing called the ego that gets in the way. And some of us are wound pretty tight, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of things get in the way, but this thing is unfolded and it's coming around. And I know for myself, I've gotten in the way a lot, but in my case, I'm wired differently. I've kind of irritated a lot of people with my intensity, but it's fueling this thing. And these voices or these spirits, they keep pointing out. In fact, for the last many months, we're harping on that I'm different. Right. And I mean, I guess I am because I'm able to do this, and people do it all in their different way. A lot of psychics will tell you that it's an individual thing, but I just wanted to say that my frustration is like, how do you know? How do you know we're not just filling in the blanks and it's just coincidence? Because a lot of people won't go past that point. That's why I was so driven, you know, and I have wondered about, you know, how balanced am I to force that? I gotta know. And, you know, but I'll tell you something, Dave, through all these years, almost 18 years, and it has been a real tough ride, my inner voice never let me think anything but I was pushing to do this because I was supposed to do it. And I think it's important.
You know, you bring that point up with the fact that how do we know? How do we know that we're not filling ourselves in? I'm great friends with a couple, Michael and Marty Perry, and their website is Spirit Art spiritart.com. That's spiritart.com. They have impressed me as a pair of mediums in the world, because that was something I questioned them about. I met them a number of years ago. They had no idea who I was. I had no idea who they were. And I was very skeptical to the idea of psychic mediums and how they worked. And, you know, the generality of some and how they, you know, oh, there's a J name and there's this and, you know, something that you could basically say that would resonate with 90% of the public. Mm-hmm. And I asked them that exact question. I said, how do you know that you're not filling in the gaps and you're just using common sense, or what a lot of people will refer to as cold reading? And they said, you know, one of the things that we do is we ask for no information up front. We don't attempt to fish for that information. I give you what I know, what is coming to me, and it either makes sense or it doesn't make sense. Michael is the mediumistic aspect of the team. Well, they both are, but he is the mouthpiece. His wife, Marty, is fascinating to me because while he's doing the readings, she will draw things that come to her mind. She'll draw the faces of people that she sees in the room. She'll draw things that might make sense to somebody in the room. And then after he gets done doing the readings, they'll pull out these pictures that she's drawn throughout the evening. And you watch how people will light up and be like, oh my God, that is exactly what my grandfather used to have. The fishing pole, but this, that, and the other, and the myriad of different designs she puts on one sheet, or the image is almost a spitting image of a family member. And it's in those moments you go beyond yourself, you go beyond your ego, and she allows to come through what is there and around them as she picks it up or perceives it. I think in the years I've known them, I've seen maybe one picture that nobody claimed, and it wasn't pigeonholing or pushing that round peg into a square hole. People identified immediately with the images that were on that and could specifically give a story to match, or show a photograph of a relative that matched that image spot on. And I think that was really impactful to me, to see that there are people that do get this imagery and do get these messages. And it is something that when they don't front load themselves, and a lot of mediums and psychics, John Oliver, who used to be on the TV show Haunting Evidence on True TV, he would tell me the biggest problem he had was people want to give too much information. And if he is front loaded, he can't discern between what is his imagination and rationale and what might actually be coming through from the source he's getting the information.
No, that makes sense.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you giving us a call and spending some time with us this evening. Let's go east of the Rockies. Wes in Taylor, Michigan. Oh, we've lost Wes. Let's go wild card three. Jeff in Juneau, Alaska. Thank you for your patience, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Dave, great show. You know, I love it when you have when there's articulate callers on all night here, so you don't have to, like, even though I'm tempted to explain the whole phenomenon of how we're all changing. Okay. But let me just tell you, since May, I've been living in my car. It's kind of like, you know, 28 degrees outside. But I just want to give a little background on the canvas here before. There's 1,000 stories I could tell you about how I know that I'm shifting in my timeline. It's just one epiphany after another. But let me just give you a little sliver of that. It's something that just recently happened, and it'll give you a good idea of where I'm at here.
Okay.
Last September, in my little travels, someone came back into my life, which I had to get rid of, you know, and like a 5-year little vacation from them, because it was getting, it was one of these people that has, you know, an alcohol problem. And, when you're in a group, though, just make a long story short, you get the kind of personality that this person, that to try to deal with them. Because when you're in a group of people, it doesn't matter whether they're strangers or whether they're people that you both mutually know, you know, he praises you, lifts you up. Oh, I'm a musician. I've been separated from my instruments and stuff like that. But he'll go, that's great. He's a great musician. I am a good musician. But he'll do all this thing to make it look like it's such an honor for you to be his friend in front of these other people. Then when those other people go, and this is, of course, in his little space, but then all those other people start to leave, and you'll find yourself with him alone, and then he just starts berating. And just treating you like that. So there's like a demon thing going on. So I'm dealing with him since September or so. He's come back into my life, and I'm trying to do this. Well, last summer I had gone to a garage sale, and I picked up this thing. Do you know what a katana is?
Yes.
Yeah, like it's a katana sword. You know what a tsuba is? It's a little handguard. It's a little hilt of a katana sword, right?
Okay.
And I went to this garage sale, and for $3, I picked up this little thing. It's in a display box. It's a tsuba. But it's not a tsuba that's made to go. It's a heavy, you know, lead bronze-looking thing. It's a cheap thing from the 70s. And it was $3, so I got it. It's not meant to be on a sword. It's just a decoration, you know? So I said, that's cool. So I bought that, and I threw it in the back of my car. And just three nights ago, I found myself in the same situation where I was alone with this guy. After being in a group, we were playing music and all that. The other people left or something, and I just wound up in his little space alone. And he starts this thing, and I go, wait a minute. And boom. My mind flashes to the car, go out and get that thing. And as I'm going out there, I'm making up this story about this is a house tsuba. And it's been blessed by a Shinto priest. And it's to develop harmony in your space. And I wanted to give this to you as an early Christmas present. This is a little display box with it. You know, it's not an old thing. It's not, you know, it's probably not an expensive thing. But I just thought of you. And I did some automatic writing on it, sigil writing, right, or something. Just for myself. To do. I didn't even know what it meant. I just made the story up. Because I asked for some wisdom on how to deal with this thing, and here's how the universe delivered it. I'm going through the stress of my little life right now, but I'm learning things. And if I was able to go and get my headphones and play my baritone guitar, I wouldn't be learning this stuff. I'd be hiding in that, right? So I got this guy. I don't have to sit with my crystal ball and my spit on the leaves, on the tea leaves, and shower heaven with prayers that make my friend be harmonious when I'm alone with him and get rid of this. I don't have to do any of that because by simple wisdom and intention, I get him to concentrate on the little gift that I gave him. And I told him it's to bless your space with harmony. And from that point on, dude, no problem. Problem solved. A little practical thing. This is like earth magic.
Well, and it's setting the intention. You gave him the directive and told him what it was.
Do the work. He'll do the work. What really happened there? That little totem, and that little elemental frog spirit or whatever it was that was feeding off his little thing. He can't come back in the room unless he wakes up and goes, "Oh, he tricked me into concentrating on it." He's doing that with his mind. I don't have to do it. See what I mean? It's just like totally. When Mark, the caller before Mark, was talking about how eternity is what's behind us, I just threw another big boomerang into my brain. You know, it's like I have literally seen my timeline changing over this experience. So yeah, I'm living in my car. I've got my little dog with me, but you know what? I know a lot about astrology. I mean, the whole thing about time that you were talking about, that's all astrology. There'd be no way to keep track of anything. We would just have legends. We wouldn't have history if we didn't have astrology. Your clock is astrology. The Bible is astrology. It's all astrology.
Jeff, thank you for your thoughts on that. We'll continue taking phone calls. I'd like to hear more from you. Give us a buzz right here on Coast to Coast AM.